Brothers and sisters, the text for the preaching of God's word this afternoon is from Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Brothers and sisters, let us sing after the sermon in response to the word of God from Psalm 103, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always a special event when a child, an infant born to parents of the congregation, is being baptized. In the sacrament of holy baptism, God comes to the child with a sign and a seal of his covenant, and the sign and the seal that God gave his promises to the child, also this child, Amanda. And indeed, we believe that children and infants should be baptized. It has always been the doctrine of the church from the beginning, because God himself teaches us so. We read in the form for the baptism why children should be baptized. They belong to the covenant. God made his covenant with Abram and his descendants. Abram had to circumcise also those boys of 8 days old who were born in his household. And that continues in the New Testament. It is by faith, Paul says in his letter to the Romans, it is by faith that we are children of Abraham. It is also the Apostle Peter who repeats God's command, or God's promise, in fact, in Acts 2, verse 39, for you as a promise, and for your children, and for all those who are far off. So there we see that the covenant continues. And there's much more to say about the covenant continuing in the New Testament. However, this afternoon, the covenant is not the focus of the sermon, but if you look at Psalm 8, then also there we see a strong argument for children belonging to God, belonging to the covenant, and therefore, now in the New Testament, children having to be baptized. It is out of the mouth of babies and infants that God has established strength. That is powerful, if you think about that. In this world in which so many powerful people attack the church and mock Christ and ridicule the Bible, God establishes strength out of the mouth of babies and infants. God is using the children of the congregation, even this little child Amanda, just born, to establish strength in this world. Think about that, as parents of little children. How wonderful that is. God is using your children, even though they don't really know what they believe, or even though they only know the very basics of Christian faith, still God is using them. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Even our little children, even though they can hardly speak, they proclaim the glory of the Lord our God. And that is the gospel that comes to us this afternoon in Psalm 8, in which I proclaim to you under this theme. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, God establishes strength. And if you read through Psalm 8, then we see that David speaks with great excitement about God's glory and majesty, about his power. God shows his almighty power in nature. Look around you, you can see it everywhere, if you want to see it. But not just in nature. Also in a way in which he not only created, but still upholds mankind. Man, such a small and tiny creature in his vast creation. Nevertheless, God gives him an important place in this creation, even made him ruler over it all. Before the fall in sin, man ruled over all those large animals, elephants, the lions, the tigers, and maybe the dinosaurs even. Man ruled over them all. Excuse me. Before the fall in sin, those creatures were not as violent as they often are now. But man, such a tiny creature in his vast creation, ordained as king over this entire creation, not only the animals, but also everything on this earth. And then David summarizes it in all these, it all in these words, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And that is what David starts with and also what he ends with at the end of the psalm. That is the summary, the conclusion of this psalm. He starts with it, then he elaborates on it and explains why God's name is majestic, and then at the end he closes with it again. This psalm probably was a psalm which had its place in a temple liturgy. In the Old Testament, the worship service was quite different from the New Testament. In the New Testament, it is the congregation who sings. And the congregational singing has replaced all the choirs and the music which we see in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the people of God did not come together in a temple every Sabbath day. No, they did in their own places, in the synagogues, they had their assemblies. But the worship service in the temple, the house of God, the house that God chose for his name, there it was through choirs and many other musicians that God was worshipped. And they represented the whole people there. And this Psalm 8 had a place in that temple worship as well. And then if you look at verse 8, then we see that the verses 1 and 2 and 9 are in fact a refrain. This was usually sung by a choir. And then the verses 3 through to 8 were sung by soloists or parts of the choir. And this way of singing emphasizes the message of the psalm, which is the first and the last verse, and then also verse 2, which was also sung by the entire choir. And verse 2 is that in fact the reason why David came to this conclusion, how great is God, and that is why he made this psalm. It can happen. If you imagine how David came to writing this psalm, it can happen that an event or just a very simple thing that happens, that awakens great thoughts in you, and you start thinking about it, and from one thought you come to another. And it all leads then to the one conclusion. How great is God? And that is probably how it went with David as well. Imagine, at the end of a beautiful day, you are sitting outside as a family, you are enjoying the nice weather. It is Sunday and you are not really in a hurry, there are no meetings or so. And maybe even tomorrow you don't have to get up early. Well, most of you probably will, but imagine it is a day in summer, and the next day you don't have to get up early, it's holidays, you have time to just sit and enjoy the beauty of God's nature, to get impressed by the beautiful sunset, and thereafter slowly you see the moon and the stars appearing in the sky. In the meantime, you hear some of the noises from the houses around you and from the street, a car coming around the corner with lots of noise, the driver deliberately revving up the engine, with its noise breaking the serene quietness of the evening. And a few seconds later, you hear a voice shouting, someone who's angry and start cursing, misusing the name of the Lord. You cringe when you hear it, and gone is your amazement over the beauty of God's creation. Those curse words still sound in your ears, and it's hard not to get annoyed and let it spoil your evening. But then all of a sudden, you hear a child singing. Maybe one of your little children or grandchildren. It sings a song that it learned not so long ago. I love the Lord. His faithfulness I praise. It's often one of the first songs that little children learn to sing, even before they go to school sometimes. And often they can sing it with heart and soul, with such a joy that it makes even adults smile. And when you hear that, then all of a sudden the echo of the angry neighbor is gone. Disappeared in the wind, as vain words usually do. And you are filled again with amazement how God establishes His glory from that song of that little child. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you, God, have established strength because of your foes. To still the enemy and the avenger, how true are these words. And how often can the joy of little children with which they sing their songs of praise or speak about the Lord, how often can they put adults to shame or make harsh and evil words of adults seem so vain and hollow? Isn't it the children whom the Lord Jesus gives us as an example? Matthew 18, when the disciples were fighting about the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then the Lord called a child to him, put a child in the midst of them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humble yourself like a child. It is not in great words. It is not in human wisdom or glitter or show. But it is all in being humble, in weakness, that God's power is made perfect. And that is what David thought about. What a power. What a strength is there in those words that come from the mouth of that little child, from babies and infants. Even though they are so imperfect in grammar and pronunciation, still they wholeheartedly sing to the glory of God. Even though it does not fully understand the meaning of all the words that it is singing. If you look at the psalms which the little children start learning when they are young, sometimes full of great words which they don't understand. Nevertheless, how many children are there not who are able to sing several of those songs from the moment that they are very young? And who love to sing their songs. Even though they did not fully understand the words of the psalm or the hymn, nevertheless they are prophets who prophesy the wonderful message of salvation. In fact, wasn't that the same with the prophets in the Old Testament? Doesn't Peter say in 1 Peter 1 verse 10 that the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be revealed in Christ, they didn't really know what they were prophesying about? They understood that they were talking about things that surpassed their understanding. Nevertheless, they did prophesy because the words they spoke were the words that God put them on the lips. And isn't that also with our children when they speak and sing the words from God's own word, the Bible? When they do so, then they are prophets, even though they do not fully understand the contents of their message. And when you hear all those eloquent speeches and lofty words of all those politicians who with all their eloquence and wittiness try to outwit the other, to seem smarter than the other, to win over the votes of the people, it's a constant quarreling with words, a constant battle to outdo the other with your words. Or if you look around you, all those people constantly complaining, blaming everyone else except themselves for all that goes wrong in their lives, always quarreling about unimportant things, turning molehills into mountains. Even among Christians, there is so much idle talk, vain words, even sometimes filthy talk. That must put us to shame when our Lord teaches us that God can just as well or even more use the children to establish strength and glory. God does not need us adults to do His work. And often the words from the mouth of little children are much stronger and more glorifying to God than all our many words and all our reasoning. Keep that in mind. Next time that you're having your discussions, be gentle. Think about it when you speak. Is it really these words on which God can establish strength? Or do the words of little children surpass the wisdom of your words? It is important that we remember, brothers and sisters, that God made His covenant with the believers and with their children. Children belong to the covenant just as well as adults. And it is also the children whom God calls to glorify His name. It is the children whom God is using to glorify His name and to establish strength. Satan knows it very well. And he fears those words coming from the mouth of little children. Satan, he is the ultimate foe about whom David speaks in our text. And the enemy and the avenger, they are the seed of Satan, being used by Satan to fulfill his plan. But God uses children, little children, to resist and to silence these foes. How powerful the words of children then must be. It is not with earthly weapons that we have to fight. It is not with swords, not with guns and rifles. It is not with rockets and planes and bombs that we fight the enemy. The enemy is not a being of flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, as Paul says in Ephesians 6. And the only weapon that is effective in our fight against the enemy is the armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are all descriptions of the Word of God and of our faith in which we believe God's Word. We must have childlike faith, Christ teaches us. And that childlike faith must shield us and will shield us against all the attacks of Satan. That faith makes us strong. And when we grow up and leave our childhood behind, let us then not give up that childlike faith. Let it be the childlike faith that for God nothing is impossible, that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that we cannot always understand God's doing. But let us trust with childlike reverence and trust that what God does is good. David was humbled by the words, by the song of a little child. And even more when he looks up at the sky, it is getting darker. And when it was dark in Canaan, then it was really dark in the days of David. They had no electric lights, not the many lamp posts and other lights which we have around us during the night and which obscure a lot of the stars. So when it was dark, then millions, even billions of stars were visible. Impossible to count them. And then David says it, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And that again emphasizes how important it is to humble yourself. There is nothing in ourselves that makes us worthy of the great honor that God has bestowed upon us, that we are made almost like God, crowned with glory and honor. We are created in God's image. Created in God's image, that means that we received gifts which no other creature received from God. And one of those gifts is the gift of the word, of speaking, communication. God speaks to us, and we respond to God. That is the most important part of the relationship between God and us. That we receive His word and respond to that with our words of praise and thankfulness. That was what God created us for. That was why He put His entire creation under our feet, so that man would use it to serve God and glorify Him. And that he would do so while living within that relationship with God, the covenant. On the one hand, man working in his creation, discovering all the wonderful things that God put in his creation, developing science, discovering the laws of nature, and much more, making great things. And then on the other hand, living in communion with God, walking with Him day by day, praising and glorifying God. God made man ruler over all things. That shows that science is also something that God gave to mankind to use and to study. It is not that science is the enemy of faith. In paradise, when there was no sin, science and faith went hand in hand. It is not that we as Christians should stay away from science and the study of nature. Now, science also is a gift from God. And unfortunately, after the fall in sin, also science has become involved in the great battle, the antithesis, the battle between Satan and the church. But this gift of science, which we receive from God, we must not render it to Satan as if he has all the right and all the authority over science. Science is also given to us to be used to glorify God. Not to deny God, but to glorify God. And this gift must be used within our relationship with God to serve and to praise God. It is through the fall of sin that so much was broken in this beautiful creation. Also, our communication with God was broken because of the fall in sin. We used the word not to praise God anymore, but to curse God and to gossip and slander and malign and fight each other. The good gift of the word and the communication became the weapon of Satan, who is the father of lies. And now he uses the word to twist the truth. But also now, through the work of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, now Satan and every and any enemy of God can be stilled and will be brought to silence through the word of God, which is the truth. Even if that word is spoken by little children, babies and infants, then here on the one hand we have those who put their trust in science and find it hard to believe what God says in His word about His creation, and they ridicule all those who have childlike trust and faith in God, because they don't know science and they should not talk about things that they don't know, about evolution and all that kind of things. But then there, on the other hand, we have the believer, little children and also adults with a childlike faith, who believe what God says in His word and who say God's word is true, even though the whole world may seem to believe the opposite. What God says is truth. And even the greatest scientist will not be able to take this faith away. Because the word of God is powerful and sharper than any double-edged sharp sword. At the end, it will be the scientist who boasts in own knowledge who will be put to shame. And it are all those who put their trust in themselves who will be humiliated. And it will be those who trust in God with a childlike faith and humble themselves like the little children, who will be vindicated. Those who want to do great things in this creation, whether scientists or not, those who want to do great things in this creation will have to start with giving up all their pride and humble themselves and become like a child and be willing to listen to God and speak His word. God does not need a strong and wise man of His age. He does not need those who build for themselves great palaces, or those who find their strength in human wisdom or institutions. those who build their own wealth on this earth, at the end, all that they use to make themselves important, it is all created by God. It is all God's possession. And when they die, they cannot take it with them. And they will stand before God with empty hands and burdened with the sins of their arrogance and pride. And imagine now that children, babies and infants are building a strong bulwark against which the staunchest atheists and godless people cannot do anything. They cannot even start to tear it down, not even one brick. Children, as soon as they start speaking, they can speak about God, and their words are so powerful. David connects these words out of the mouth of little children with the vast creation, the firmament, the moon, the stars in the sky. It is immense, God's creation. It all speaks about the glory of God. But also the mouth of babies and infants speak about the glory of God. It is important for us to remember that when we have the task to raise children, fathers and mothers. It's important to remember that also as grandparents in your contact with your grandchildren. Oh yes, I know all about it. Children can fight and quarrel. They can be difficult and do many bad things. They are also conceived and born in sin. Already from the very first beginning, Satan is working hard to win them for his gates, to draw them away from God. And therefore, it is of the greatest importance that right away from the beginning, we do our best to tell our children about God. As we promised at the baptism, that we will instruct this child, these children, our children, and have them instructed in a Christian doctrine to the utmost of our power. How important is it, especially those first years, to sing with them? Little children are very sensitive to music. Little children, even when they are very young and can hardly talk, they will recognize the songs which you sing with them every evening or every morning. And after a while, they will sing along. And it won't take long before they will sing these songs themselves. Don't wait until they go to school before you start practicing the psalms with them. They can do it way before that. And if you teach them to sing the psalms, then you teach them to speak the word of God, to be prophets, as little as they are. Don't do it because it is so cute to hear those kids singing. But do it because it is the will of God, who desires to establish strength from the mouth of babies and infants. They also are covenant children. They also live in that relationship with God. God gives them His promises, and He is waiting for their response, even though it is in very simple words, of which they don't know the real meaning. But it is God's desire to establish strength out of their mouth. And then when they grow up, when they get older, go to school, elementary school, high school, don't stop singing with them. I know sometimes it's difficult when those children get older. But keep it up. It's a good custom every evening, for instance, after supper, to sing together as a family, together. Not only when the children are young, but also when they grow up, go to high school, or even become adults. Through little children, God decides to still the enemy and the avenger. That does not mean that it is only little children who can do so. But it means that we all have to become like little children if it comes to faith. And we all have to sing wholeheartedly for God like the children do. Oh, there is so many filthy talk in this world, so much cursing, so much idle talk. So many mouths being used by the devil, and the devil loves to hear that. But what the devil does not want to hear, that is the singing of God's children and all the witness of the believers. Therefore, let us sing. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us praise His name, even in situations that others don't hear us. We don't always understand how our songs can silence the enemy and the avenger if they are not here to hear us singing. But every time when a child of God sings a song to the glory of God, The angels in heaven will hear it and rejoice with us. And the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places and all around us will hear it and be discouraged. As Paul says in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Amen.